Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
The party is back on in Lincoln this fall, and there's no party like the A1 Automotive Ticket Tailgate Pregame Show. Join the whole ticket crew for 2.5 hours of pregame coverage before every home and away game this football season as they get you ready for the game. It's the A1 Automotive Ticket Tailgate Pregame Show at our downtown studio at 11th and O, sponsored by Select Plumbing, Raising Cane's, Wall-to-Wall Wine and Spirits, Elway Power Sports of Lincoln, Currency, and the Kindler Hotel. This is Lincoln's home for sports talk on the FM dial. Also online at theticketfm.com.
On the internet.
KNTK FM Firth, 93.7 The Ticket. Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Old School on a Wednesday. Back in full effect, Austin Norman and Jay Foreman are with you here for the next 3 hours on the program. Old School is always brought to you by the Mercado, by Certified Piedmontese Special Ingredients and Butcher Shop, 3 in Lincoln locations and 1 up in Omaha. I'll tell you what's going on for Fired Up Thursday coming up here later in the program. Jay Foreman, welcome back. Nice to see you. How are you?
What's going on?
Oh, lots going on. It's game week. Nebraska's still looking to get bowl eligible. Fascinating comments from Matt Rhule regarding his coordinators. Then we heard the coordinator's response yesterday. And we'll get to that. But first and foremost, we have a Cash Blitz keyword to give to our audience. So get your phones out. Get ready to text 508-777-1000 or visit theticketfm.com. What you can do then is you can click on Cash Blitz on our website and enter the following word, spend, S-P-E-N-D, spend. Text it to 508-777-1000 or click on Cash Blitz on theticketfm.com. Enter the word spend for your chance to win $1,000. We'll have words for you Thursday and Friday as well. All right, Jay. Matt Rhule says he would have liked Nebraska to run the ball more, make a concerted effort about it. We've heard that before. And then he calls his defensive coordinator's game calling vanilla. We heard from Dana Holgorsen, who said, yep, head coach is right. I gotta do better establishing the run to start the game and coming out of halftime. Got to be better at it. Yeah. And John Butler said he got punched in the face as a defense, is essentially what he said. Minnesota hit the one big play. And his comment was, I'm not a sheep, but I had a sheep moment. You know, we're not sheep, but we had a sheep moment. I let one play dictate how I called the rest of the game. He's saying, what John Butler is saying is, he didn't meet the moment. He didn't meet the challenge. He backed down from Minnesota and called a game scared.
That's not what he said. Is that what he said, quote unquote?
That is what he said.
No, I'll read
it. I was sitting there. I wrote this one down specifically because it stood out to me. John Butler, as part of a larger answer, ended up saying this. He said he didn't punch back after Minnesota's long run the way he normally would. You're not a sheep, but you have sheep moments. That's a quote from John Butler to his press.
What's it mean when you have a sheep moment?
It means you're soft. It means you're scared. It means you're a follower. It means you go with the crowd.
Dang. I don't know. I'd have to ask him about that. That's a little suspect.
That is what he said. That is what the man said. He said that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's tough. I think you know, as a coordinator, you're trying to, I don't know if he's on the field or off the field. I don't know that.
He's down there. He's on the sideline.
He's on the sidelines.
As is Dana. They both are.
Okay. Well,
actually, all three. Eckler is, so.
Yeah, well, you can see him jumping around. But no, I'm just playing. He needs to be down there because he has to, you know, do this thing. But
coordinate.
Sometimes I was like, I was just getting at sometimes coordinators are up in the booth and they can't really feel the vibe. So, you know, so they can see things but can't feel it. You know, I was thinking about that. But I wonder, like, if some, you know, the hard part about coaching is, you know, you could be in the right front. And like I've said this, and then next thing you know, you get gashed on a, you know, you're looking and you're up there and it's like, okay, well, you know, you get scoop blocked at the three. It goes behind the play, which then makes the out makes it impossible to set the edge. You kind of set and kind of lose the edge, right? You kind of, okay, you have like somewhat of a 50-50 outcome there. And then I think didn't fill right there, but then it's hard to fill because the three didn't make it. Probably didn't get over to flow, you know, over top of that to get downhill to kind of in survival mode, right? Because you lose immediately at the point of attack.
Across the line of scrimmage.
No, but at the most vital position is the three, and you go behind, you have to make that play. You can't not make that play. You got to make that play.
Not a choice. You make the play.
And see, here's the difference. And I wish I could have this up. I mean, I don't have access to Nebraska tape, and I could probably, you know, get screenshots on it. You know, I mean, or we're on remote. But so if you're in a three technique, if I'm remembering correctly on this play, so text line, correct me if I'm wrong. Three technique is your head up to outside shade of the guard. So here's the difference. J.J. Watt made a killing on this backside, right? But the play's going away from you, and so you, instead of trying to cross his face, you can go behind him and get flat down the line and make the play chasing the ball. Because they had a guy named Antonio Smith at a five technique that was a heck of a five technique. So then what he was setting the edge. He was burping the tackle. Or if he was going against the tight end, he was knocking that guy back. So it was impeding the progress of the initial attack away from him. Now, flip to Nebraska. You're running, they call it a mid zone. It's inside outside zone. It's pretty much, we used to call it choice zone. Whoever messes up, that's your choice to go there. That's really what it is.
Pick on them.
Right. That's what, you know, you read it. You know, really, you know who started that? Was the Colts. They just ran it out of a spread formation. And you have Adrian James. Trust me. I know.
You're familiar.
Yeah. So the three technique gets scooped by the onside guard, or he goes back. And if you don't kind of ricochet off that center and make that play, you got to be like Aaron Donald could do that, right?
DeForest Buckner could do that.
Or whoever.
Chris Jones.
You know, that you're just not, I mean, you're making that play. You're just kind of like slowly but surely like spreading that, you know, the hole in the alley for that runner to get through. And if you don't have that pre-planned and have linebackers that you practice all week, that probably how you're going to play this play, it's going to be a very, very tight fit. Well, the tighter you fit, the bigger the hole becomes, because now you're able to get outside the initial gap faster. So now if it was initially, say, a B gap run, it's already C to the edge. And if you get cut off over top and you miss a tackle, and then the alley filler, who's usually coming in that alley tight, and you got to like veer, you're usually coming downhill, say like at a 45 degree angle, and you got to kind of run like a half, I call it a half moon.
Banana.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's no different than basketball, but it's a recipe for disaster. Sure, we could have made that tackle to save it, maybe a 15, 20 yard run. And it does have some lasting effects, that, you know, obviously with the, you know, Coach Butler saying it, but then also it comes on the players, you know, to really understand, you know, all right, we got to, you know, pony up. Here's an example. I always talk about the championship years weren't perfect. We were perfect when we needed to, and we had the ability to get it going and get it together. We played Washington State, and they busted off a 60-70. I mean, I'm talking about untouched. Like, literally handed off, and running back was rolling too. I was like, dang, he's pretty fat. We in for a game. And we were going back and forth. Then we snapped out of it. Now, mentality-wise, we showed up ready for a fist fight. Reality-wise, we weren't playing at our optimum level. But when you're showing up with your mind right, you eventually get your skills and your production up to snuff in order to get that game. And so it's a, you know, unfortunately for them, sometimes, you know, the football gods will sometimes expose you, or get you will be exposed to some of the things that maybe you've been told. You only heard it. Now you got to listen to it. The best way to handle that, or, you know, from my experience, is literally, you know, eat it, you know, really, you know, come to terms with it, and then really work diligently never to feel like that again. Because that's a nasty feeling, because now it's double time. And the copycat league, you don't want the reputation that you can line up and just run over you. And you have a breaking point, case in point. Mm-hmm. And we'll see at 5 o'clock, because Northwestern is not, I gotta dance around my words now, because all of a sudden every time I say it, Nebraska should beat these, like, they're not
don't
good.
Say the words put and your and mortgage and on it together, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, it's well, I know it's bad when I have Darryl Thompson, who's probably the best runner, one of the best runners in Minnesota history, and Ron Johnson, and all my, and Brian Cohen and Mike Cohen, who played at Minnesota, but they worked for Minnesota up in the, like, foundation. They were like, who was this team that showed up on Friday? Like, how did you lose to these dudes? So I wasn't the only one. I think Northwestern, they're not, like, overwhelming, but what they do is they're really, really well coached, and they get on you man to man, and they play with excellent pad level. So what that means is they're going to test your discipline. And a lot of times with physical games, playing against physical teams, you know, they're at this level, they're not, teams are not going to just line up and just bowl you over. They really test you mentally, your discipline, and are you disciplined enough to stay in the fight as long or more than your opponent? And that's literally what it came down to. That's what that play was. Mm-hmm. Because here's where the difference of the discipline is. I guarantee you, when they ran that play in practice, you didn't get double scooped. Two guys at the point of attack didn't get reached. We call it scoop, but you didn't get reached, right? Mm-hmm. You probably had a little bit tighter fill in the alley, right? You probably got off blocks a little bit better, right? Well, you know, maybe you approach it like a throwaway down, you know, just kind of like, all right, we're just getting, you know, let's get to third down. Well, you learned a lesson. Every down is important. Whatever the lesson is in that whole thing, it's important.
You're supposed to learn a lesson. Well, we are going to see against Northwestern if Nebraska actually did learn. Not the exact same circumstance, right? You get an extra day to prepare instead of one less day. You're at home instead of on the road. All that stuff plays into it. But
for a little bit.
But my point overall is this. Nebraska gets another chance against a team that's going to want to do some similar stuff to Minnesota. Maybe some of it in the same way, maybe some of it in different ways. But what we saw, Jay, over the last 3 weeks was Nebraska not learn lessons from Michigan State and Maryland that then bid it against Minnesota. The hope is that Nebraska's learned lessons, but it seems right now, before seeing Nebraska play Northwestern, like Nebraska took the wrong lessons away from the wins. It's time for Nebraska to take the right lesson away from a loss and flip the script again.
Yeah, that's the difference between being outcome-based and process-based.
Yeah.
And that's really, when I talked about it, like, one of the hardest weeks of practice we had was probably after that Washington State game, after that Missouri game late in the season, because we had to tighten up on some things. Now, we were obviously, you know, good enough and had, you know, enough experience to, you know, dig yourself out of a hole. And so whether it's a learning lesson, and that kind of gets you shocked and embarrassed into, okay, I got to really, coach is right and all this other stuff, I need, you know, I've been slipping. Or you got to really revamp your process, which is how you go about your day-to-day business, and you can't worry about the outcome. That means you got to be you got to be in the moment. This is the most important play in practice. This is the most important meeting. This is the most important lift. This is the most important extra meeting outside of what's mandatory. I'm going to do, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Then this will be something that you can look back on and say, okay, you know, this is where they really learned, and this is the maturity of the team, of the leadership, so forth and so on. It's a turning point and all, what, you know, X, Y, and Z. Or it could be, you know, here you are 3 days after, well, the game was Friday, like almost essentially a week after, still, you know, dealing with the, you know, outcome and the reaction of what happened, you know, a week ago. And then, oops, well, we got a game against Northwestern. We come out of the, you know, the tunnel walk and everybody's hype. It's 11 o'clock. The weather's nice and all that. Well, that the home crowd is only going to, that lasts about a drive or two. Mm-hmm. Then you got to create your own noise.
The motivation versus discipline.
Yeah. And that's just because I want to. And it should be, you know, that's motivation and discipline. But the more disciplined you are, the motivation lasts longer because you keep going back to it. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? You keep running away from that feeling. So it's almost like, you know, you know, they say, don't put your hand on the stove or whatever it is. It has to be a lasting memory. And you have to be, you know, have some humility to deal with it. Like, and obviously I don't really pay much attention to what's being said because I think the most important thing is what you do. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Sure, you got to kind of, you know, obviously match them up, right? Because I know what it's like to say something because I've been in those places and then everybody hangs on every single word. And that's not even kind of like what you're thinking. I'm all almost like, okay, how did you prepare? How did you come out there? What is your teammates like? What are you like? Are you willing to push the right buttons to get the ultimate outcome? That's the win. Because that's all that matters. Because what some like athletes don't understand, you can be very stat oriented. I need tackles, this and this. But you could be on a team. You could look at the Patriots when they're really rolling. Their defensive players didn't really have overwhelming stats. They were just really, really good.
Well, their team stats ended up overwhelming, sure, if their individual did.
You're right. The wins and losses. But those wins escalated those. I wouldn't say like, okay, so if you look at the amount of tackles, say like Zach Thomas had versus Teddy Bruschi. Sure, Zach Thomas outperformed him year in and year out. Teddy Bruschi made some huge plays. And then when he's being played, when his team is playing late in the year, they're talking about all the things he does to be a winning and is obviously a Super Bowl champion. He was a great player, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Versus, you know, like for instance, you know, I'm down in Houston leading the league two years in tackles. Game 6 there, week 16, that's just empty.
It's formality.
Right. But then you get on a team, say you play for the Patriots. I would have given back half of that tackle. Say if one year I had 200 some tackles. I'll have 100 tackles so I could go to the AFC championship. You know what I mean? Because then you get a guy like that or like Willie McGinnis, right? He's known for having huge like games and sacks in the playoffs. Now he's potentially getting in the Hall of Fame. Maybe he has a year where with the Patriots, he has 4.5, you know, sacks, which is not really that much. But it's his job to set up Vrabel or Seymour. So you got to really get back to that and you know, and all that stuff. And maybe, you know, I know they, you know, I have a, you know, players only meeting and all that stuff. Sometimes
they did, says Dylan on Sunday.
Sometimes you got to get your stuff off your chest.
I think Matt Rhule got some stuff off his chest as well. We talked about it a little bit, but that was the most pointed he had been toward his coordinators since he's been at Nebraska. He had some stuff.
He's only been here 2 years.
Oh, but he's had chances. He's had chances to say stuff about or to his position coaches in the media and his coordinators. Didn't really do it. He definitely did this last time. And that's where I really like your, you know, your analogy of it's the hand on the stove. Okay, this was Matt Rhule in a controlled-ish environment, taking Dana Holgerson's hand, taking it off the stove real quick. John Butler, give me your hand. Take it off the stove real quick. It sounded like he felt burnt by that. It sounded like, I mean, there's a question about Ja'Cory Barney. Do you have to make a more concerted effort to get the ball into his hands? Yes. And that was that. Vanilla game plan. Vanilla game plan. I'd like us to run the ball more. Things that Matt Rhule has said, which is where if you are the coordinators and where if you're Matt Rhule, this is where being a manager of a team, a leader of a coaching staff, is more art than science. Because Matt Rhule is not going to dictate to Dana Holgerson, you must run the ball 53% of the time and pass the other 47. John Butler, you must blitz on 60% of the plays. If you're only at 58% at the end of the game, well, yeah, even if the situation calls to play back, you need to send a blitz. You know, meet your metrics, right? That's stat-oriented. That's result-oriented. This is an art for Matt Rhule right now in how he needs to approach getting his message across, delivered, and then ultimately executed on Saturdays. Because you go hire Dana Holgorsen not to try to rework him into your image, Matt Rhule. You'll get him because he's Dana Holgorsen. He has a proven track record of success as an offensive coordinator and a play caller. Now, maybe you said the right things to get him in the door. Maybe he said the right things to get and keep the job. But at some point, you got to have that real conversation. What are you actually about? Is it what I'm about? Is it what I think is best for this football program? If you're Matt Rhule, maybe letting Dana Holgorsen cook is the answer. But if Dana and Matt are not philosophically aligned, at some point, Matt Rhule might have to make a tough call and say, you know what? You're a great offensive mind. I view things differently than you do. You're not getting fired. I want to go a different direction. Same with John Butler. John Butler, you know, I really liked your aggressive mindset. You haven't brought that these last few weeks. You said your defense found something, in your own words, in the press conference, John Butler. You were better when you abandoned the screw it mentality. And then you, 1 week later, go away from that because you give up one long run. It's a moment here for Matt Rhule to learn, you know, how to manage his staff and how to lead it, because you don't want to take those guys out of what they're comfortable of doing. Matt Rhule isn't involved in the nitty gritty of play calling. And I don't think he wants to be. Otherwise, he would be right now. But how do you find that line between micromanaging, making sure your vision is being carried out the way you want it to do because you think, you know, it's what's going to make you more successful, but also staying out of the way and trusting the guys that you hired to make those decisions for you, guys that you trusted because of their track records, make those decisions in the moment?
Yeah, I mean, that's the part of coaching the staff and nurturing the staff and understanding and the outcome sometimes of humans that get in the moment. Humans have emotions. And when you call plays, you're in the moment emotionally or whatever. And it's no different than, you know, I always go back to Jerry Gray. Whenever he get mad, he's called, you know, he calls Spike 40, which essentially is a zero blitz. Well, you do that against Peyton Manning, it's house call. And it happened.
Unless you get home.
But you're not getting home against a guy that's throwing the ball 1 second.
Right.
When you got a Hall of Famer over there and Hall of Famer over there, it's a lot.
Put my boy Reggie in the hall, dang it.
Yeah, and two rookie corners. So there's other ways around it, but I think it's more of the point of, you know, say, hey, first of all, when you go up there and play like Nebraska played, everybody has to do better. Mm-hmm.
Play calls didn't lose Nebraska the game. Yeah,
but
they didn't help.
Everybody has to do more, and everybody has to, you know, everybody's got to coach better. Players got to play better. You know, on that stuff. And that's what your job is as a coach is to come up with even a better game plan. And no matter who says it to you, you know, that should be on your mind anyways. Nobody should be comfortable with going up there and embarrassing yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the biggest point. And then if he wants what he wants, then, you know, you got to find what he wants in your playbook and shape it, and then get more continuity from offense, defense, special teams. And that's how you do it. Cause you're going to want, you can't have a hurry up offense and a conservative defense. And then, you know, kind of pick and choose your special teams. They all kind of got to be strategically placed or kind of aligned.
There's a magic phrase for that.
What's it called?
Complementary football.
Generally, but that changes at times during the game. And
that's the feel thing. Yeah. The art.
And you also have to work. Here's also what people don't understand is like, and this is why it's so important when we do these black shirt breakdowns and we really look at some of the plays, the two or three plays that precede an explosive play or the sneaky first down or leaky yardage, you know, that kind of adds up over three quarters, is because if I'm a coordinator on the defense and I see the offense struggling, and I need to, maybe I'm, you know, and just natural, I gotta probably be a little bit more.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Conservative, because if I overextend myself, then now the offense is in even a deeper hole. Flip the side. If the defense is struggling, the offense has to get out of their box. And that still is complementary football. So you got to really put all those emotions together and have constant communication. And then obviously, you know, obviously you want to run it by the head man, but then also you want to operate within the team's game plan. And I'm sure they get together. So, okay, this is how we're going to beat this team. This is what's going to go. And then, you know, hopefully attack, you know, with your best ability.
And then if you're a player, go make a play.
Which ultimately is the biggest thing. Minnesota didn't do anything fancy. You know, they out executed, and you know, like I said, now, you know, if you, you know, and you know, I've heard where Nebraska hadn't played against a bunch of two backs and all of that. I think I saw somebody on, I think it's Michael Rose Ivy. He does a really good job of kind of like putting the science project out there and stuff. Two backs, like, okay, well then now you're going to get that against Northwestern.
Mm-hmm. What's you going to do about it?
Well, what I'm saying is, so now you should be more, you know, prepared for it. And, you know, it's not like you got to go from Northwestern to the old, you know, Jeff Brom Purdue, right, where you're, you know, now we got to, now we can't even really show that we adjusted. Now we got to
keep that lesson in our back pocket till Iowa comes.
Right. Okay. And then you're playing Iowa after you played the old school Northwestern that threw it out. You know what I mean? So
right,
now you get some continuity. So you expect Nebraska to play better. But I think this thing with this team or being at 5-2, number one, you need to understand you're 5-2. So you have one hiccup. Right, gave one away. Now you have an opportunity to go get it back, become bowl eligible, and really put yourself in your sights, you know, get yourself back on track. And you can't think about what could be until you handle what has to be. And that's, you have to play well Saturday. You have to win this game. You got to prepare to do so. You have to be willing to do more than what you've done before. You have to have thick skin. You have to get out of your emotions. You have to be a better teammate. You got to do all these things. There is no, like, you know, tiptoeing in the cold water. You got to jump in, and everybody's got to go for it. Sure, you can be mad and all that, but you're not going to go back and change that in Minnesota effort or who played well, who didn't. You just got to do what you need to do to, you know, play well come Saturday.
Can't change it for Minnesota. Can't change it for Northwestern.
And that's the great thing about it. You're glad it's not the last game. You got to sit on that for 2 months or whatever.
Got to sit on it for about 5 minutes. We'll be back to old school after this.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're back, Austin Orman, Jay Foreman on Old School. Brought to you, as always, by the Mercado, by Certified Piedmontese. Don't forget, as well, you can be a part of the show on our Starter Heyman Jewelers text line, 402-464-5685. Big B, Jay, says this: doesn't it seem as though we talk about this every season, about the fourth or fifth game, as to where the identity of this football team is? I will go first, and I'll try to set you up for this. I would say we're having more questions about identity regarding Nebraska football in the last 10 years, really, since Nice Mike, because there's been so much change. Because in the previous,
I think Mike Riley had an identity.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure. But he also changed coordinators. Which
was not his choice.
It was not, but I'm saying, I mean, program identity and on-field identity are a similar but different conversation, right? So
they should be aligned.
Right.
But, well, and I would even argue that Mike Riley's identity was exactly what they wanted. What's the old buddy that hired him? What's his name?
John Eichhorst.
Yeah. What's the other dude? The YOLO dude? The Harvey?
Oh, Harvey Perlman.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Was Harvey there for that? Or is that Hank?
Austin?
Okay.
So I think he had that was identity. And then, the whole thing, and maybe it ramped up more with Frost just because his words were distinctly different from his actions and the way they practiced and all that. But, and I think the identity thing comes up when you lose the way Nebraska lost by a team that really just 3 yards in a cloud of dust and play good defense and really tested your discipline. That's where the questions come up, because Minnesota is just Trump tighteners, and they really tightened down on that identity because they were at a, you know, athletic deficit and all that. And then they, you know, they played, you know, they had a magical night, or they just played at a, you know, higher rate that, you know, than Nebraska as far as like the identity now. And you're trying to compare, and I'm not making excuses. Nebraska should have never lose that game, right? I think Nebraska is the better team, or obviously better players, or whatever you want to call it. Is that Minnesota's farther along in this identity process and who they are, right? But I think Minnesota's identity was already in that program long before PJ Fleck got there. There was some of the identity within the program at Indiana that people don't know before Cignetti got there. He didn't take over a cesspool, or like a bad, you know.
Took over a bad team, not a bad program. Took over
a bad team that had some bad luck and lost like one first-rounder, Michael Penix Jr., two other guys that was drafted, and lost some guys to the league, like McFadden and all those guys. And it was the, you know, the whole COVID thing and all that, lack of support. So then everybody starts to compare. And some of the comparisons are fair, and some of them aren't. And you got to work towards that. And then everybody has to pull towards that. And you got to stick to it at the most crucial times.
When it gets hard, you have to stick to it.
Right, and it's hard this week. This is the first time I think a lot of these kids have faced any athletic adversity, meaning you are getting challenged right now. Now, you physically got challenged Friday, right? So that's probably your first time. I'm sure before, but now you're getting challenged right now.
This is the first time it's being talked about big, loud in front of everybody.
Challenged right now. A lot of these guys are getting challenged right now by the words and actions that they had in the offseason. When you, and there is a purpose for it, right? And then whatever their purpose is fine. But what, you know, I always said this. When I used to go to family reunion, I was a real little kid. I was a young kid. There's two things you don't do. Like, you know, the most arguments was over who was making a potato salad and whether it was good or not. And if you made potato salad or macaroni and cheese and it wasn't up good, then you just got kicked out of, like, the older aunts club, right? Now, they'd argue and they'd fight. But then they'd always come together later on. And then that's where the pettiness came out. And that's where they always, you know, had receipts, right, of, you know, Uncle Otis and what he did down at the Elks Club and all that. So that's where it all came down. So what my point is, football players via social media are the pettiest pats of all time. They take notes. So the best thing to do is to make sure everything you want comes to fruition. Now, how do you do that? You stick to your process. You have your plan, excellent discipline, and then you have another gear that you can always go to. But you got to, like this game, like with this team, is more mental than physical. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's more mental getting out of their own way. More mental dealing with this. This is the first time a lot of them, you got to think, you know, you got to think, like, if you just came here in the portal, they don't start school in, like, February, right?
I mean, late.
Yeah, January. Yeah. I mean, that's February. Your first 2 weeks, you just kicking it, you know, right? You just up there, like, getting an apartment, going to get, you know, going to Nebraska Furniture Mart. You do it. Yeah, you know, you got a month off, right? And then you just lifting weights, getting your arms big. So this is the first time you probably, like, have felt embarrassment in a long time. Athletically.
And you better feel embarrassed.
Well, no, they do. And that's fine. And that's good. They need to hurt some. But then now you have that unique process of not totally burying it, but always just making sure you forgive yourself, but you never forget. That's the biggest thing. You get what I'm saying? You never forget it. You forgive yourself, and the best forgiveness is a change of actions. But you got to get to the process of getting on Northwestern and understanding it. By no means can you expect a team not coming here with the same, first of all, they got the same record as you. They have the same goals for you with this game. Their coach, I can only assume, is preaching. We went into a bigger, better, louder, more intense Lions Den and got a coach fired. Then we doubled up against an up-and-coming Purdue team, shut them out. We're packing our defense. We're packing our discipline. We're packing our physicality. Rinse and repeat. On the flip side, you've already dealt with whatever you had to deal with on Sunday. Now we're moving on to Northwestern. But every time you do something, when you walk on that field or go in the weight room or whatever, you don't forget that feeling after this last game, Minnesota game. That will lead you to actually want what's coming on that other side. Bring me your best shot. Because you would know your best shot is better than theirs. So bring it on. And so it's all like a mentality shift. And you got to get there. And sure, you can go to like, I'm sure they got people you can go in there and they can talk to you. Yeah, at the end of the day, you got to look in the locker room and say, listen, that ain't good enough and we're going to go fix it. It don't got to be pretty. Because it ain't going to be pretty. It's going to be grimy. But at some point in time, you know, there used to be a saying, are you a man or are you a mouse? We're going to see.
It's the we'll see part that I think is gripping Husker Nation with intrigue right now because...
Well, that's what every team...
Well, the hope is that there can be that mental shift. And again, we're still year 2.5 for Matt Rhule in the middle of year 3. Is that enough time to build the culture, identity, whatever buzzword you want to throw out there? Maybe, maybe not, right? Matt Rhule came in saying, no, these are all my guys, you know, whether you're with the previous administration, previous coaching staff, or with me. But this is where we're going to see, because if Nebraska hadn't been, to your point, tested like that with that level of physical or mental adversity yet under Matt Rhule, just because of the circumstances, you don't want to give him a pass, but it's understandable.
Yeah,
but if they've never faced a situation like that, if they've never faced adversity like that before.
They faced it last year. They got blown out on national TV against Indiana. Trust me. No, they got embarrassed 56-7.
But that's different.
No, it's not. They got physically
beat. You can convince yourself it's different because of what Indiana's done now. But you also knew Indiana then was better than Minnesota was.
You can lie to yourself and tell you it's different. It's not. And Indiana got after you physically. They got after you mentally, and they got after you execution wise. And you got got over your skis. The only difference is
Indiana's good.
Take that out of it. The only difference is this: you felt like that was going to be remedied because you answered the bell in the moral victory the next week on the road at Ohio State. So you say, okay, we learned from that. Now you got the offseason. You got another, you know, obviously Dylan's older and all that, you know, all that, just the factual stuff. But every year, every team and every is going to face a Jesus moment. If you want a great example of it, is Alabama left for dead. First of all, they got physically whooped against Florida State, an inferior Florida State team.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
who got up for their Super Bowl, it appears.
Player to player,
mm-hmm.
Right? They got worn out to the point that they were questioning guys that should even be on the team, let alone be at Alabama. And they were questioning their coach whether his heart was pumping the real stuff or Kool-Aid. Was he soft enough? They said soft. Okay? AJ McCarron called him to the carpet, said the team was done, all that.
The meeting stuff.
Well, they were done and left for dead. Yeah, and he even predicted it. Yeah, they'll get up for Georgia because they seem to always play good against Georgia. It's kind of the same. They played against a lot of these guys in high school. Well, then they doubled down against Tennessee. And if you look at Kalen DeBoer now, his approach, he was challenged.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The dude coaching right now is not the one that coached early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
So the players that are playing this week, you better put on your Superman cape come Saturday.
Okay, so if Minnesota isn't the first time that Nebraska's faced that adversity, if Indiana was the first time, I get it. There are new guys on the team this year compared to last year. You had the older DNA, and I understand that, right? Is the fact that Nebraska had, you know, your ties and your Nashes on defense, your Bullocks, your Giffords, was that the reason? Do we give Nebraska a pass because it's a new team for not handling adversity well? Because if Nebraska, you know, hasn't faced this adversity before, then we're curious to see how they respond. Are you confident that there's enough of the program DNA left over from last year's team to this year's team that makes you confident that Nebraska will respond against Northwestern? Not that you hope they do, not that you want them to.
I'm dealing hope.
Nor should you. Hope is not a strategy. But either Nebraska's been here before with Indiana, which would lead me to believe that Minnesota shouldn't have happened. Or Nebraska hasn't been here before, and we're about to learn something new about this team and program.
I mean, you'll be in this situation every season. That's how North Dakota State has made a living. Going down to Kansas State, going to Kansas, you know what I mean? And beating the brakes off them. Because those teams that were Power Five at that time didn't take them serious. Everybody had to learn a hard lesson. Now, obviously, Minnesota is a team. You should never get off the plane in Minneapolis and not take them serious.
Based and not on, be ready to play.
Number one, because of the history. Mm-hmm. In the long history of Minnesota's been playing this way since Glenn Mason.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't new. Mm-hmm. Jerry Kill took it to, and then obviously he got sick. And then PJ Fleck is like, all right, well, I'm just going to just add on to it.
Mm-hmm.
So you know who they are. They're tough kids. They're big. You know, they feel like they felt like they're one or two plays from going to college football playoffs last year. So they feel like, or at least he made it feel it seemed like last year's team didn't feel like they were that much different than Indiana based on a few plays. Now they probably weren't, but in their mind. So you know, Nebraska's gonna. It's not about whether I got confidence. Come time in your career at times that you have no choice. Absolutely no choice.
Here we are.
This is a game. And you know what? You should expect that. Now here's the thing. Coming out the tunnel, there's no doubt. All right, second, third, fourth quarter. That's what I want to see. Because that's what them dudes are going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's what the most important thing is. Can you last? Do you got the stamina? And that's the most, you know, and are you willing to, when you have that little glimmer of kind of natural, you know, habit of turning the intensity down, can you check yourself based on hand on the stove? Let's turn it up a little bit higher.
TBD, Nebraska Northwestern at 11. We'll go to break, wrap up hour one of Old School after this.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Short one here, wrapping up hour one of Old School. Austin Norman here. Jay Foreman will return again briefly. We'll talk to Evan Blaine of the Omaha World Herald at 4:30. DP will be in with me to kick off the 4 o'clock hour. But let's get to our starter, Heyman Jewelers text line here over the course of the next couple of minutes. Eric, unmasked texter, really appreciate you guys chiming in. 1671. Nebraska can beat Iowa, then the Minnesota loss would be forgiven. Maybe, but I think part of the issue for Nebraska potentially, and Tom Chattel and I talked about this a little bit on Monday evening at the Husker Football Hour, is that there's no reason for Nebraska not to take Minnesota as seriously as it takes Iowa. I think plenty of Husker fans are on board, the majority with them, of Iowa being a rival. Nebraska gets up for that game. Not like Nebraska always plays well. Credit Iowa for being a tough, physical, solid program with good players that it puts into the NFL draft. But the point, the overall takeaway, I think, is that Nebraska needs to treat every game with the same urgency as Iowa. Needs to treat every game with the same urgency as, oh, I don't know, Colorado in the first half last year, right? Yes, all games are created equal. Yes, there are games that are different than others. But Minnesota's kicked your tail enough, if you're Nebraska, that there's no reason for you to underestimate them for any reason, for you to not treat that game like a Super Bowl. You know, you can't put all your eggs in the basket, and it's not like your season's over if you lose it, because here we are. Nebraska loses to Minnesota in their 5-2. But there's no reason that Minnesota should take this game more seriously than you. Maybe for Husker fans in the program, the Minnesota series isn't one they took as seriously when they entered the Big Ten. But if you haven't had the wake-up call now that Minnesota treats that game like it's different and you're not, that's on you at this point. You got to match, if not exceed, Minnesota's intensity. I'm not saying go full Bill McCartney, you know, and not wear maroon and gold and not use the letter M that week like he did, you know, no red in the Colorado building. But holy cow, some sense of urgency would go a long way. Match the energy, match the vibe. Otherwise, this is going to continue. And I think Husker fans would say that that's unacceptable. 2271, yes, appreciate the thoughts. We talked about that a little bit on the drive. Nick and I did earlier today, and then Jay and I touched on that briefly as well. 1508, Nebraska is the team you get off the plane with, don't take seriously, and still win. Kind of the inverse of what we were talking about with Minnesota. Either every team really, truly gets up to play Nebraska, or maybe Nebraska makes other teams look that way. I don't know which is which. You know, I don't want to believe that Nebraska treats games differently. I want to believe that Nebraska treats every game like a big game and is up for every opponent. It's human to not be, but it does sure seem like, you know, other teams play well against Nebraska. And either that is a mental advantage or it's a physical advantage, or, you know, maybe it could be both. Maybe it could be both. You know, mental and a physical advantage. But I think Husker fans and talent evaluators would argue that it shouldn't be a physical advantage. So it must be a mental one. At least there's some credence to it. 5162, if you can't get hyped for the $5 bits of broken chair, nothing can get you hyped. Oh, I don't get hyped for the $5 bits of broken chair trophy. I'm hyped to play Minnesota, though. You need to be. It's a game that deserves your attention. 6169, would things feel different if Nebraska would have gone into Minnesota as the underdog rather than the favorite? No, I don't think so, because you still got manhandled, especially this Nebraska team. Sitting at 5-1 going to Minneapolis, say they were a touchdown underdog instead of a touchdown favorite, you'd be looking at Minnesota maybe with a little bit more respect, but I don't think Husker fans would excuse the way that game looked, even if Nebraska, the football team, was an underdog heading into the game. There's no excuse for how bad Nebraska looked. You can rationalize, you can justify. I've tried to give, you know, half-hearted explanations for why Nebraska looked the way it did. But at the end of the day, you got outmanned. To a man. Plain and simple. Up and down the roster for 60 minutes. Didn't do anything about it. Couldn't do anything about it. Either way, it's not a good look for Nebraska. Only putting up 6 points, allowing 24 to a team that struggled to reach that before. Cubs crew, appreciate you texting in as well. 0739. Not sure, but we'll certainly keep diving into that as the situation progresses. And Mark, really appreciate you chiming in there and listening. Appreciate your thoughts here on our Sartor Hamann Jewelers text line. Big shout out to the great folks at Sartor Hamann Jewelers down at Pine Lake. And then, of course, the outlet just about a block away from us here at 12th and O. Big shout out to Rick and his crew at Sartor Hamann Jewelers. We'll go to break. We'll bring DP in for the first segment of the second hour of Old School. Evan Bland joins us at the bottom of the hour next on Old School.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. This is Lincoln's home for sports talk on the FM dial. Also online at theticketfm.com.
On the internet.
KNTK FM Firth, 93.7 The Ticket.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.